We have some serious storms coming in overnight in about 6-7 hours, and the meteorologists call it the Pineapple Express, so I thought I'd just dress like this to kind of make it feel more comfortable when it got here. Need to give a disclaimer before we actually start the substantive material. I am the District 4 Grievance Committee Coordinator for all of the grievance panels in Harris County. I'm also a panel chair of a grievance committee, and I'm a member of a grievance committee, but I'm none of that here today. I'm a guy who's been holding my law license for 38 years and managed to not be sanctioned and managed not to have any findings of professional misconduct, and I feel very blessed about that. And that's the only capacity I'm here in. And similarly, the good professor, while he's affiliated with the University of Texas, he's here in his sole capacity, just like one of y'all as a licensed Texas attorney. And we need to do that because anything that we say, it could be construed as attaching to our respective organizations. And of course, you know, while we know a few things about ethics, it's our opinions and our judgments, not those of the entities that we are part of. So that out of the way, let's talk about some practical tips for avoiding legal malpractice, sanctions, and professional misconduct, because last I checked, nobody wants any part of any of that. I certainly don't, and I imagine none of y'all here want to either. And we are going to talk about clients that behave badly because they are out there. I had a 6-year entanglement with a client who behaved badly, who forced me to sue that client. And we went from the district court to the Court of Appeals to the Texas Supreme Court, back to the district court to the Court of Appeals to the Supreme Court, until a 12-member jury finally told my former client, you need to pay this man every penny you owe him. And in fact, if we could award more, we would. They actually sent that message out. So when I say there are clients who behave badly and who can drag you into something that potentially has the potential to entangle you in something you don't want, it's not theoretical. It's from personal experience, having dealt with one of these, and I never want to do that again, and I don't want any of y'all to ever have to do that. So, first suggestion I got is from the world of automotives, and that is that this happens to be one of our vehicles. To be specific, it's my wife's vehicle, and there's something interesting about it. We bought it, and we paid a bunch of money for it, and I felt like, okay, we just paid a bunch of money for a vehicle. I don't want to spend any more money on this thing. And then I come to find out, wait, you mean I have to do regular maintenance on this thing, and you're going to charge me for that, and it's going to take time out of my day to bring it in, and, you know, it's this frustration of, I spent all this money getting this tangible item that's really important to me. Why do I have to keep spending money on it? The answer is because if you don't, it's going to break down when you need it most. I assure you, if you walk out of the dealership and you don't do any oil changes for several years, you don't do a flush and fill on your transmission occasionally, or your radiator, you don't check the tires, it's going to break down when you need it most. Well, that's great, but this is not an automotive course. Why am I talking about vehicles? Simply because a law license is just like a vehicle in one respect, and that is we all paid a whole bunch of money for them, and we're thrilled to have them, and we don't want to have to spend any more time or money maintaining them. And guess what? If you don't, it's going to break down when you need it most. Now, what am I talking about with regard to, happy birthday to me. It looks like I've been licensed 38 years last week. That's cool. Anyway, your law license requires periodic maintenance. And what are we talking about here? Now, obviously, when you go in for the oil change and get your tires balanced or rotated, they always want to do the super-duper expensive stuff that they say, well, you know, you could do without it, but it would really be better if you do. It's the same thing with maintaining your law license. There are certainly some things that you can be doing that would be beneficial to you for making sure you understand what your ethical and legal and professional obligations are to your clients and to the profession. But the most essential things, the oil changes, the flush and fill, the tire rotation and making sure they're properly filled, the analogy to those is making sure you stay current on the Texas disciplinary rules of professional conduct. Why is that important? It didn't used to be. Back when I had more hair and less waste, they hardly ever changed those rules. It was every 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever. And so if you knew the rules when you got out of law school and you remember those rules or refreshed your recollection, that was good enough, no biggie. Not anymore. The Texas Supreme Court has revised by amendment the disciplinary rules 3 times in the last 6 years, and we're coming up on something that I'll talk about in just a few moments. But the uptake of all this is, if you learned the ethical stuff you needed to pass the MPRE 5, 10, 12, 15 years ago, if you learned enough to keep your law license so far, and thank goodness nothing bad has happened, and you haven't faced a grievance committee or a legal malpractice lawsuit, that's terrific. But if you haven't refreshed your recollection regarding what your ethical obligations are under the disciplinary rules, I can assure you that those obligations have changed pretty significantly in the last 5 to 10 years.